recording, so we'll miss all the ranting. This isn't the way God intended Christians to live. Amen? Not ridden with anxiety. Not burdened down and depressed. I know we have difficulties, but I can tell you, if you'd read history, people faced martyrdom with joy, with peace, with contentment. Amen? People lived poverty. A lot of the people that wrote the songs that lift our spirits and exalt us lived in dire need. Many persecuted. Many with other difficulties in life. Amen? We need to be awakened, revived, restored in our perspective on life. Amen? We need to rediscover the joy, the peace and satisfaction that's found only in God. Now, I say only in God because in our last 30, 40, 50 years, there's a lot of other things that propped up our joy. There's a lot of other things that propped up our security. Amen? We lived in an unusual time for people in history. Nobody else has experienced that kind of freedom, that kind of security, that kind of prosperity. Nobody. Since Adam walked on the earth. Nobody. As a general rule, people have experienced that. Amen? Even our early pioneers, they struggled to make a living. Life was short and brutish in many ways. We've enjoyed that. A lot of that security has been stripped away. As Christians, though, will we experience the same level of joy, peace, and contentment that Christians in the past experienced without the external props? Amen?
Yes.
That's a challenge to me. And it's a challenge to you. Because what our world needs right now, what our world needs is a move of God. I was talking to some people Friday night, and everybody sees the problems. Everybody laments the problems that's going on in our society. But I'm going to tell you the truth, and you can mark this down. This is the truth. There is no cure for what ails our society apart from God. No cure. There is no law. There is no president. There is no court system. There is no cure for what ails us apart from a move from God. There's no compromise between taking innocent life or not taking innocent life. There's no compromise between the hedonistic lifestyles or doing what's right. Amen? There's no compromise between people looting, burning, and stealing or not, right? I mean, it's either on or off, folks. We, unfortunately, our education system and our media are destroying and brainwashing a large percentage of our population. Amen. And I don't know how to affect that because it's entrenched aside from God. God knows how. Amen. But we need our perspective of life corrected. What makes for a successful life? Now, we all know the right way to answer as Christians, don't we? It's not money, it's not things, it's not influence and power, it's not having fun and not indulging ourselves, right? We know that's the right answer. But how many people really believe that? How many people in their own heart of hearts still believe more money, more things, more fun would make life better? How do we judge people when we look around them as whether they've been successful or not? Money? Things? Leisure? I'm telling you, we were all way more influenced by this than what we'd admit to. 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, not of the Father, but of the world. The world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." You know, I've been over this enough. What's lust of the flesh? Lust of the flesh is having enjoyment, right? It's doing what you want to do. It's basically lived out in entertainment or fun. Lust of the eyes is can be roughly translated materialism. It's desiring what you see that you want. That's why people spend billions of dollars in advertising. But you see it often enough, you might want it. Amen? And then the pride of life is, look at me. Look at me. Look what I've done. Look how good looking I am. Look how rich I am. Look how, what a nice meal I have. What I've done this week that's so much fun. Amen? You know what? That's all life consists of for those that don't know God. Really. It's either the admiration of others, enjoying things, or possessing things. That's what life consists of those that don't know. That's this society, when it speaks of the world, that's a society without God. That's what they have. That's what life consists of. But he said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, and he's talking about the love of these things, right? That can't be our focus. The pursuit of these things as our means of fulfillment and satisfaction is not compatible with a true Christian life. I didn't say you shouldn't have a job. I didn't say you shouldn't want to do better. I didn't say you shouldn't want a better house or a better car. We ought to be motivated by a desire to do better. But that ought not be our pursuit of contentment and satisfaction. It's opposed to knowing God. You know this in your own life. It's opposed to really knowing God. The love of things, the love of pleasure, the love of prestige is opposed. But it's what motivates and drives people who don't know God. And if I'm not mistaken, it is still the primary motivator of most people that profess the name of Christ. And that's a problem. Amen? Because James says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whoever therefore be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Amen? That's strong language, but it's also plain. It doesn't need. He said, love of the world is not compatible. He said, the love of God's not in it. He said, you want to be a friend of the world, you're going to be an enemy of God. That's pretty strong. We're not like those who don't know God. Amen? As Christians, we're not like the ones in the unregenerated world. I was going to go there. Talk about the kingdom of God. We are foreigners in this land because we belong to a different kingdom. Amen? We're foreigners in this world because we belong to a different kingdom. We're not like the ones around us that don't know God and what we value and what we pursue. 1 Timothy 6:5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that godliness is gain. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world, but certainly we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, that means they that desire to be rich, fall into temptation and snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, love, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. It says godliness is not gain. Or gain is not godliness, rather. Gain is not godliness. You know what that means? Financial gain does not necessarily indicate God's approval of it. Do you know what? Just because somebody making money and doing well does not mean God's pleased with them.
Right.
Amen? Just because you're not doesn't mean God's displeased with you.
Amen?
Amen? Too often we equate success with gain financially, even in the Christian life. Now, keep your perspective. God does bless. We have many promises of that. God will bless those who love Him. Do what's right. Amen? But we need to keep it in perspective. It is not the primary test. Amen? In fact, the truth is, most Christians throughout history have tended to be poor and persecuted rather than rich and well-favored. Amen? Amen?
Yes.
Well, if you don't know that, you don't know history, because that's really... Well, what is a successful life then? What is the right perspective on successful life? We're back to basics. A successful life is a life that's focused first on God. You cannot have what's truly described as a successful life if your primary focus is not on knowing God and pleasing Him. It can't, if anything else, your hobbies, your family, anything else is your primary focus, it's not a successful life. Our life needs to be arranged in a manner most consistent with seeing that happen, with knowing God and pleasing Him. That means we live a self-disciplined life because we know self is our biggest enemy. So we want to keep ourselves under control. Temperate in all things. Moderation in all things. Amen? Self-discipline. That we not stray out of His favor. We preached a few weeks ago about living in God's favor. We self-discipline not to earn salvation, but to keep ourselves in His favor. We don't go doing those things that's going to annoy, irritate, and anger God. Amen? Then we live in His presence. I can't overemphasize this. If you don't have a living relationship with God, you need to be very, 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 very concerned. And by a living relationship with God, I mean you talk to Him, and He talks to you. Amen? That in every decision you make in life, you weigh, what's God think about this? Amen? That as you get up in the morning, your thought is, I need You, Lord, today. Every day. I need You to help me. I need You to guide me. Every good thing that happens, you think, God, You've been good to me. From the time I think that every morning when I get up and eat breakfast. It's my favorite meal. And I think that every morning when I pray, God, thank You for providing good things for me. Amen. Every meal of the day, we're blessed. We ought to be truly thankful to God. As you walk about your yard and walk about your house and see what God's given you, you ought to be thanking Him. Not just saying, man, I worked hard, that really looks good, I did a good job there. But walking around saying, God, You've been good to me. Thank You for blessing me with this. Amen. Amen. When you come into trouble, your first thought is, God, help me here. Yeah. Amen. You're going to have trials. Sister Paul is right. You're going to have temptations that are powerful. You're going to have trouble sometimes you ain't got an answer to. In fact, most of you there already. Well, I am. There's trouble in my life I don't have an answer to. I don't have anything to affect it. Amen? What do? You ask God continually. Amen? You pray for one another. You pray for your kids. You pray for your grandkids. You pray for your neighbors. You pray for those around you that God would help them. We prioritize the spiritual things. That means the things that relate to God are more important than anything else in life. Amen? A successful life is one that's focused on the pursuit of real happiness. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's what makes life enjoyable. It really is. Righteousness, peace, and joy is what makes life enjoyable. Happiness is a clean conscience. Amen? Most people can't even imagine life without guilt. Really, they can't even imagine that. The peace it brings. The rest inside that it brings. Knowing that you're living in God's favor. Amen? Knowing that you haven't intentionally hurt or harmed or defrauded anybody. Amen? Happiness is the true joy of knowing God loves me. God cares about me. God's got my back. Amen? I tell you what, if you're not walking close enough with God to feel that, that ought to be the prayer of your heart and the motive of your life this coming week and the weeks to come until you find that. Amen? To know God loves you. I've hit this every week for how long now? Somebody needs this. We need to get a hold of that God really loves us. God really cares about us. God really is our protection. Amen? He has a future. Future belongs to God. You've already been there. into the end already. Amen? He knows what tomorrow brings. Not only does He know what tomorrow brings, He cares about you and me, everything about us. He cares about us making a home to heaven, but He cares about every other aspect of our life. He said He cares about, He knows the number of hairs you got on your head. He knows all the little details about you. Amen? Not even a little sparrow out here that goes down today, but God don't take note of. And He said, you're worth a lot more than that to Him. You're made in His image. You're made with the ability to relate to Him, to love Him back in return. He loves all of His creation, but you're the only ones that can love Him back in return. Amen? God cares about you. Therefore, we don't need to fear the future, because He's our protection. I tell you what, it takes a lot of praying to get hold of that some days. Amen? There's things in my life that bring great fear. Satan knows where to attack. Amen? Where we're vulnerable. But He's our protection. There's a real peace that we can experience that's brought on by a sense of safety, contentment, and satisfaction. In fact, Romans 8:31 says, what do we say to these things then? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? But godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment's one of those things in life that everybody talks about, but very few people really find it. Amen? Very few people, including Christians, really are content with the life that they have with God. Keep your life free from the love of money, Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. We can be content knowing God's caring for us. Amen. Don't allow your life to become overly self-focused. Amen. The first question is not, how will this affect me? The first question is, how will this affect my relationship with God? Will God be pleased? The reason I say that, because a self-focused life inevitably leads back to a life of sin, because self-love is the very essence of sin, pleasing ourselves. People don't sin because they want to do evil. People sin because they want to please themselves without a proper regard for God and others. Amen? And so the more we focus on ourselves, the more our attention is on ourselves, the more our thoughts are on ourselves, the more likely is the love of self rises to a level it shouldn't be. And we go back to pleasing ourselves. Amen? One of the keys to a successful and contented Christian life is to keep our love of self in check. Amen? Selfishness is the enemy of knowing and pleasing God. Our identity as Christians is to be in Him. As Brother Webster said, our identity is I'm a child of God. You know, beyond I'm an American, and I do identify that way. I identify as a Yoder, and I'm proud of both of those things. And I identify as a number of things through life. Some with my career, others with different things I identify with. But our primary identification, how we self-identify, how we think of ourselves, ought to be, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I identify with Christians. I identify with Christ. Amen. I am a child of God. I'm one of His. I belong in His family. Amen. We're not our own anymore. Matthew 16:24, and Jesus said to His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That indicates there's some degree of difficulty, does it not? And this cross thing is not all internal battles. It is internal battles, but it ain't all that's involved, right? Amen?
Yes.
Whoever will save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What's a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Man, we belong to Him. Whatever that means, we're to take on that identity and follow Him, even if it means suffering. 1 Corinthians 7:23, you're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's saying, he died for Christ. Christ died in his stead. And Paul's saying, in one sense, I died too. Because I died to that life for myself. The life I now live, he bought. It belongs to him. Amen? The focus of our life as Christians has to be to please God and live our life the way he wants us to live it. Because the life we now live is not ours, but his. Remember back when we used to say if somebody got saved, they gave their life to Christ? I don't hear it as much anymore because people really don't view it that way as much anymore. But it's still the truth. We give him our life. It's given to him. Not that we choose to do what we want to do. Not that we're going to pursue what we want. But everything is what he wants. Amen? Our self-identification, and this is important, self-identification is that I'm a Christian. That's what we want others to see. Amen? How we self-identify, what we want them to know about us is, I'm a Christian. I belong to him. Amen? Not how great we are, not how successful we are, not everything we've done, but I belong to God. We want people to see that we belong to him and that his attributes are seen in our life. So that we show the power of salvation outwardly to treat people right, inwardly to have peace, joy, and satisfaction within. Is that fair? I mean, is that honest, folks? Is that fair? In with the scriptures, is that fair? I know it's in one way it's challenging, but another way it ought not be challenging. We've come to rely on ourselves so much we forgot how to rely on God. We're to trust him. Anxiety brings fears. Fears often bring despair because there's nothing we can do about things. As Christians, listen to me. I want to help you. Our life is not to be typified by fear, but rather by faith.
Amen.
The unknown is usually frightening, almost always unsettling. Right? That's just the nature of it. We like to be in control. We like to know what's happening. We like to know what's going on or what's going to happen, even if it's bad. Right? We like to know that. But the future is always unknown. We never really know the future. Sometimes we think the future is going to be better. Sometimes we have a better grip on predicting the future because sometimes it's easier to know what will happen tomorrow on the big picture than it is at other times. But the truth is you never really know what's going to happen in your own life tomorrow, no matter if the whole world's going gangbusters good or falling off in despair. You really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But what we do know, this is what we do know about the future. God knows every detail of it. Mm-hmm. Our God, who loves us and cares for us, knows everything about the future. And because he loves us and cares for us, we can trust him. As his children, we've not been left alone in this world. Amen? We have a heavenly Father who loves and cares for us. We have a God who is all-powerful and all-knowing. Amen? Therefore, the admonition in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on him, for he careth for you, makes that most sense. We have a God we can trust. Amen? Now, the truth is, you're either going to trust God or you're going to worry. That's the real truth. Because if you think it's on you, you're going to worry. If it's on God, you can trust him. Now, the real truth of most of our Christian life, there's a mixture of that. Amen? Nobody ever gets perfectly there or other. They never give up hope completely or they're no longer a Christian. But there's a mixture in there. But I'm going to tell you what, it is a sliding scale. As your trust increases, your fear will decrease. As you allow your trust to decrease, your fears will increase. Amen? Well, it really works that way, folks. And here's the other fact. We can choose to trust Him. Unless you chose to trust Him, you can't be saved. Amen? You had to choose to trust the salvation that Jesus Christ promised in His Word in order to be saved. Right? Because you had to have enough faith to believe that He died for you. That He cared for you. Amen? We're called on to choose to trust God. Amen? So I'm challenging us. Choose to trust God.
Amen.
That mean all your fear will go away tomorrow? No. Does that mean everything won't be a battle? No. But the more you choose to trust God, really choose it, you will find over time it begins to push the fear back, and your faith increases, your satisfaction, your joy, and your security in Him increases. Purpose: to live or die in God's will. Amen? Christians have made that choice. Come on, folks. Purpose, I know that's not heartwarming. The truth is, we can purpose to live or die trusting Him. Though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. Is that what Job said? He chose that, not because of what he seen. Amen? But, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. We can purpose. Martyrs chose that path. Others have chosen to be faithful to God to their own hurt. Do I think it always ends up in dying and hurting? No, you know better than that. You lived your whole life. You've not got a real hurt physically or died trusting the Lord. Amen? In fact, most of the things you worry about in life never do happen. Most of my worries never do happen. God has been good. God has maneuvered around most of them for us. So take your worries to God and leave them there. He said, cast your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. You ever get frustrated enough with your plumbing that you finally break down and call a plumber? In one way, it's you hate the expense, but another way, it brings certain peace of mind to you, saying, okay, now we're going to get this fixed. Amen?
Yep.
Take your car to the mechanic. You don't worry so much about it now. You may worry about the bill, but you don't worry about the car because now it's going to get fixed, right? Can we not do the same with God? Has He not proven more faithful than your mechanic, than your plumber? Can we not just take it to Him and say, God, it's yours. Fix it. Amen. Fix it the right way. Do what you know ought to be done. I don't know, maybe I've rambled this morning, but I really am concerned. Folks need to dig down and find a satisfying portion for themselves of knowing God. We should have a place of security, contentment, and joy in this anxiety-driven world. Does that mean you won't have to battle it? No. I know some people battle anxiety way more than others, not because they don't have faith. They're just psychologically predisposed to that, emotionally predisposed to that. Some are predisposed to anger, by the way, or other things. Doesn't mean we can leave them run unchecked, right? It just means you're going to have a bigger battle with it than some other people will. Don't expect, snap your fingers and everything go to the way you think perfect is instantly in any of these areas. But I am telling you, by a consistent trust in God, a consistent living in His presence, that you will be shocked to find over time the progress that you make in having joy and peace and satisfaction. You may not be able to see it next Thursday, but you look back 2021, if you've been consistent in this, you'll say, hey, man, God really helped me last year. God brought me through a lot of stuff. I'm not as worked up as I was a year ago. I'm not as frightened of the future as I was a year ago. Amen? Take conscious effort. Amen? keep this life in perspective. This ain't our home. I don't care how much you pile up. It's all going to be somebody else's. And who knows, your kids may do dumb stuff with it. And so, you know, you want to pile it up and leave it to them, they may do incredibly dumb stuff with what you leave for them. Right? I know some that's went before us. I've seen what their children have done, and they would be aghast that they've worked that hard to see it go that direction. And so, this ain't our home. We got a home. This life goes fast. We're also living in a fallen world. This life ain't the way God intended it to be. This ain't the way God created it. Amen? Sin's entered in. The curse of sin's entered in. Because we're in a fallen world, life ain't going to be perfect even if you know God. Right? Should it be? If life was perfect because you knew God, there would be tons of people that would follow God just for the loaves and fishes, as they'd say. They'd be following God just to make their life good. They'd still be just as selfish. It's just a different way to reach their selfish end. And that's a lot of Christians today, by the way. And that's the way it's preached, and that's the way it's perceived, and that's the way it's lived. And when it don't happen, they abandon it. But this life ain't going to be perfect. Sometimes God needs a Job here and there to say, hey, you can survive this. Or a Paula to go through a trial and say, hey, God's faithful. The fire may be hot, it may be intense, but God's faithful. Amen? It may need to see you, how you survive the trouble and trial, how you regain. Amen? That there really is a real change inside, not just something we put on. Amen? The most important thing in this life is to really know God. Not your comfort, not your happiness, not your prestige, not your wealth, not any of those things, not what people think about you. It is to know God. That's what's really important. There is a real God everybody's going to answer to. Ain't nobody getting away with nothing. They will for a short time, but ain't nobody getting away with nothing. Life goes fast. Everybody's going to answer to God. God has made himself known to us and wants to be known. And in the end, the only thing that's going to matter is if we know him. Not, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I did many wonderful works and cast out doubt. No. He said, did you know him? Did you know him? Well, then know him for yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Make that the focus of your life. To know God. That's the only thing you're going to carry out. And others that come to know God. Right? That's what really matters. Make that where you find your contentment. Beware of focusing on yourself. One of the ways to do that is to give. Don't become tight-fisted. Give your time, give your energy, give what extra resources. It don't mean make yourself poor, but it means as God's blessed you, bless those around you. Help others. Purpose to give the glory to God. Amen? I know there is a some got together and sent out care packages to the ones who couldn't be in service. But they put from the church on it, and I don't want you to be confused that you were left out of a major decision of things that was happening, because they didn't want the glory. They just wanted people to be helped. And I appreciate that. Amen?
Yes.
Seek God for all the needs in your life. Big, little, emotional, relationships, financial, health. Seek God for all the needs in your life. Trust God on purpose. By choice, choose to trust Him in everything. Choose. Now here's a biggie. I don't know if you'll do this, but I've been striving to. Maybe it's only old age that starts bringing this on. I don't know. Maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. But choose to live today and enjoy today and trust everything else to God. I didn't say spend everything you got so you ain't got nothing tomorrow on purpose. I didn't say don't make wise plans. But I did say, if God loves you and cared about you today, that same God loves and cares about you tomorrow. So, you know what? God's blessed so many people, so many things, and they're still miserable. You know why? Because they're worried so much about tomorrow, they haven't learned to enjoy what God gave them today.
Amen.
Learn to live in today. Beautiful day out there. Beautiful day. Go outside. Talk to God. Look up at the sky. Talk to God. Enjoy the day he's given you. He gave me enough food for lunch. If you ain't seen me, we'll see to it you got enough food. I'm dead serious. We'll see to it you got enough food for lunch. Amen? Or for the whole day, for that matter. You got reasonable health.
Amen.
None of us have perfect health, but you have reasonable health. Get out and enjoy the day. Look at God's creation. How beautiful it would be aside from the curse of sin and sin. Commune with God. Talk to him about his love for you. Talk to him about what you're worried about. Amen?
Amen.
Trust him with it. We live so far below our privilege. I don't like that word anymore, but we really are privileged, folks. I hear different groups being said they have privilege. Well, you have privilege. You know the Lord. You have privilege. Amen? Above all others, you have privilege in this life. Because God is God, and he loves us. Talk to God. I was sitting out by a fire the other day and just looking up as dark, looking up into the sky and into the stars and the vastness of it. And I was thinking about God. How with just the span of his hand, he put it all out there. Our little teeny planet. Amongst all that is really insignificant in size compared to all that. Yet God knows all about us. And not only our little planet, he knows about all these little people that he created in his image so that they could know him. And that's what he desires. Above everything else, that's what he desires. I challenge you. Let's get to a place where we don't just work the noise up and the songs, but we have real joy in our life.
Amen.
We have real peace in our life. We have a satisfaction with the life God's given us. That don't mean you shouldn't have a desire for better. Your car ain't running, you ought to have a desire for a better car. Amen? Your roof's falling in, you ought to have a desire to put a roof on it, right? There ain't nothing wrong with wanting to better yourself. But don't let it get the hold of you to the extent you lose out your enjoyment of life now and your peace and joy with God. Amen? I don't want to come across harsh. Sometimes I fear I get worked up on these things and I feel like I'm beating on you. I don't want to be that way. I want to see us get to where we experience the reality of salvation in a greater way, because if people can see how good it is and how good God is, that's got to have an influence on those around us. Amen? You can tell them that your way of life is better than their way of life till you're blue in the face, but if you're as miserable as they are, ain't going to have no effect.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
The effect is the desire for what we have within us. Amen? The people can see that and say, how did I get there? Then you've got an opportunity to tell them, hey, this is the path to good life. Amen?
Right.
Amen. May God help you. Let's end and sing a verse of song in closing. Heavenly Father, we thank you.